Okay, to the world. Today's Daffin, Masechet Sanhedrin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is Daf Pei Beit. And as you can see, it was a remes to Richie, who woke up early because it reminded him of all of the days at the pub, which is Pei Beis. And we're right at the bottom of Pei Aleph Amud Beis. And the last thing we had learned was Haboel Aramit Kanaim Pogimbo. So this is somebody is actually in the process of sleeping with this woman, and she is an Ovid Kerchavim. So then Kanaim can kill him. Now we have to define what the meaning is of these Kanaim, but this is extrajudicial. That's, in other words, all of this was triggered by our discussion that started with the idea of the choki, as we called it, which was the kippah, and that was, we had remorse to it in the Torah, but was clearly a halacha l'meshe Sinai for recidivism and for cases where somebody was high of chorus and didn't seem to give a hang and was mafkir his life, sort of help him along. This is another example of a extrajudicial idea in which the Bezdin cannot act against a particular thing, but an individual who is a kanoi can. So, what about if nobody does anything about it? I mean, is there something that is done to him or what? Lo pogubo kana imahu. So somebody who, here we're talking about sleeps casually with someone, but who is an Avedis Kerchavim. So, Inche Rav Legamori, and what was fascinating, Rav had forgotten for some reason what it was that his Rebbe had taught him, because it was a Kabbalah, and he didn't know how to answer. So, Rav Kahana actually had a dream, and Rav Kahana's dream was what he had asked Rav about, and in the dream, there was someone reading the Pasuk, Bagda Yehuda, V'toivanes Tav Yisrael of Yerushalayim, Ki Chilel Yehuda Kodesh Hashem Asher Ahev, Uba'al Bat El Nechar. All right, so this is, Yehuda is treacherous, and abominations have been done in Yisrael and in Yerushalayim, because Yehuda has been mechalel, has profaned the Kiddush of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which he had so loved, and instead married the daughter of some alien god. Anyway, strange pasuk. So Rav Kahana goes to Rav and says to him, I had a dream, and this pasuk was read to me, and it tells him over. That immediately reminded Rav, he said, ah, of course, that was what my Rebbe had taught me. And this pasuk was actually a remez to the din that you asked me. Bagda Yehuda, in what sense does Yehuda deal treacherously with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? This means that they did Avedis Kerchavim. V'chein hu omer, and this is why the Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, Begadtem bi Beit Yisrael ne'um Hashem. So you basically dealt with me the way in which a adulteress deals with her husband. That's what you did to me. V'toeva nesta b'Yerushalayim. What is the reference to that? The Lashon of Toeva is a reference to Mishkav Zechur. And we find that that is considered to be a Toeva, because it says, Et Zachar lo tishkav mishkavei isha Toevahu. And then you say, Ki chilel Yehuda kodesh Hashem. What is the chilul of Kedusha HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That is chasing after whores. So why is that? Because, look, if you take a look at what word we use for whores, the very strange thing is that we actually use the same word that we use for holiness, kedusha. And this we use as kedesha. So what does that mean? So as Rashi says in the Chumash, the meaning of a kedesha is someone who is mekudeshet. Remember, mekudeshet means dedicated to, set aside for. So this woman is dedicated to sex. And Yisrael is dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a beautiful idea of how it's a complete violation. Because your original dedication was to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to Kedusha. And then that Kedusha has been flipped so that now you chase after women who are dedicated to sex. Does that make sense? That's why we call it a zona. Lovely. Uba'al bat el nechar. So how do we consider, how does somebody sleep with the daughter of an alien god? This is a reference to Abala Kutit. If somebody sleeps with a woman who is herself a worshiper of an alien god, that's sleeping with the daughter of that god. Uchtiv Batrei. So what is it say? Now that we know that this is what it's referring to, so it says at the end of the pasuk, Yachret Hashem le'ish asher ya'asena. It doesn't really say it here, because we're connecting the different pasuk. It goes back to the original pasuk, and this comes immediately after that sense of the Begida, and this is at the end of Malachi, where it says, Yachret Hashem le'ish asher ya'asena. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will cut off. This means that there's a getter of Kores that is involved here. And that person will not have someone who is an heir, won't have a lively presence or an oner. Somebody can answer any kind of questions in the Beis HaMedrash. Umegish mincha l'Hashem tzvakot. Which means that if he's a Talmud Chacham, so then he won't have a child who will be an heir b'chachamim. Heir means he's like lively, right? He won't have a son that is one of the choshev talmid chachamim. He won't have talmidim that will be oneh, that will have the answers. If he's a kohen, he won't have a child who will be megish mincha l'Hashem tzvakot. And that means that this is all what is the fate of someone that the Kanaim don't kill, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's revenge on such a person is this Yachret Hashem. Omre b'chia bar avuya, kol haba alakutit, ti'ilu mitchatein ba'avodat kochavim. What I understand is that the comparison to a bat el nechar is to say that if you are sleeping around with a avedet kochavim, it's as if you actually married an idol. Dechtivu ba'al bat el dechar. So you have intercourse with the daughter of an alien god. Our gods don't have daughters, do they? V'chibat yeshlo le'el dechar. What it means is that someone who sleeps with the human who worships that el dechar is as if they married the idol. It's, in other words, they're committing themselves to a completely different type of life. V'yom Rabbi Chiya bar Avua. On the Gugalato Shel Yehoyakim HaPashtas, this Rabbi Chiya bar Avua is quoted here, as Rashi says, because we just quoted him a minute ago. He was the one who taught us that Ko Habal al HaKutit, and therefore we mention another thing that Rabbi Chiya bar Avua actually taught. But this is actually a much deeper connection, as we'll see. Yehoyakim HaMelech was a tremendous rasha. So one of the things that he did is that he had a tattoo put on his penis with the shame of Hashem, so that every time that he was involved in sex, he would be insulting the shame Hashem. And because of that, the Navi said that he's going to have a kfurat chamor. We'll see exactly what the Navi speaks. Schova Ashlech, we'll talk about it in a moment. Now, what happened was that his skull was discovered, and on his skull, there was writing that said, Zot va'od acheret. Nobody knew what in the world does that mean? This and more to come. So what happened was, Reb Chiya bar Avuya was the actual Zaidi, Zekeno of Rebbe Preda. And he had been walking along outside of the gates of Yerushalayim, and he sees Haru Gulgolta Davishadia Bishara Yerushalayim. He sees a skull that is lying on the ground near the gates into Yerushalayim, and he sees on the skull it says, Zot Va'od Acheret. So, wow, that's weird. All right, so it's a human skull. He went and he buried it. So, Kivara. And then, strangely, the next day he finds it's out again on the surface. V'ader Navog. It kept coming out. Kivara v'ader Navog. So every time he buried it, it would be found on the surface of the ground. So he said to himself, you know what? this must be the skull of Jehoiakim, because Jehoiakim, the Navi, says about him in Yirmiyahu, Kurat Hamor Yikaver, he's going to be buried like a donkey. So Chovev Hashlech Mihala Lashari Yerushalayim, dragged on the ground and cast off on the ground by the gates of Yerushalayim. So this must be his skull, because something is strange that you can't bury it. That's the Kvuras Hamor. Nonetheless, says Reb Chiya to himself, you know, look, I mean, he is a king, and this is a tremendous bizoyan. V'lav urach ara levasuyeh. So, okay, we can't give him a burial, but he shouldn't be exposed in this fashion. That is such a bizoyan for a king. So what did he do? So he takes this skull, wraps it up in valuable cloth, and osve besifta, he puts it in a safe. Anyway, one day, his wife opens the safe, and she sees this skull in the safe. Says, oh my God, is my husband a murderer? What's going on? She runs into the neighbors. Help, what am I going to do? I just discovered a human skull in the safe. So the neighbor says, I'll tell you what this is. This must be his first wife's skull. He apparently was so in love with her, he can't separate from her. So he wrapped her skull and put it in the safe. What? She says, I won't tolerate this. She turns on her self-cleaning cycle in her oven, puts the skull in, and it's burned to a crisp. So Shigarta le Tanura Ukulata. Anyway, Reb Chiya comes home, and his wife says, well, I found her, and now she's dust. So Reb Chiya said, that's what it meant when it said on it, Zot va'od acheret, there's more to come. Little did I know it was my wife that would be Mekayim, that Nevius. What a story. Anyway, so what is the Kesher over here, actually, besides that it happens to be another mimer of Reb Chiya bar Avuya? Because the Nekuda is, the way that the Zohar describes the Iser of Ba'al HaKutit is that a person should use a beautiful Brit Milah and put it in a disgusting place like that. That is what is such a bizoyan about a Ba'al HaKutit, which of course is exactly what Jehoiakim had done. So Jehoiakim, instead of using the beautiful Brit Milah on his penis, he went ahead and got this ridiculous inscription of the Shem Hashem. So that's why the two memoirs are so beautifully connected. This is what happens to one who is Mivaza the Shem Hashem in the way in which he uses his equipment. Sorry?
Is there Mida Keneged Mida? But how is it?
You're asking what's the Mida Keneged Mida of his exposure?
The skull.
That's exactly. Ki Yasser of Dimi Omar. This din about Ba'al HaKutit was actually, even though, look, it's difficult to say casual sex with a goy, with a goya. So what would actually be the iser that was involved over here? If she's one of the Shiva Amamim, so then everybody is made that to keep one of the Shiva Amamim would be aser. There's also an Isra of Loya Kadesh, Bibnei Yisrael, which is a din according to the Targum. The way he's Targum, it's a reference to a Shivcha. But in any event, these Isurim are Isurim of keeping them as if you're married to them, even though there's no real marriage that's possible. But casual sex is not something that was clearly Usr. And therefore, the Chachomim went out to define those types of relationships as involving the most disgusting types of Isurim. There were gozer that it would be the same, that a Ba'al HaKutit is as if you had slept with a Najga. So what exactly is a Najga? So the Nun is a Nida, even though there is no din of Nidais on a Goya, so she can't really be a Nida. And it's as if she were a Shivcha, and therefore you would be over on Loya Kadesh, but you aren't really, because she isn't a Shivcha. The Gimel stands for a Goya, and to be actually married to a Goya It says, Beferish in the Torah, you know, that you should turn your heart away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So even though you're not actually marrying her, you're just having casual sex with her, the Rabbanan ushered it so that it should be mamish the same as if she was a Goya. And Olive stands for Eishes Ish. So in the event that she were married to a Goy, even though there's no concept of marriage really to the Goy as far as the Jew is concerned, but since it is similar to adultery, and we're worried that a person who gets used to having casual sex with women that have what they consider to be husbands, so they answered it also because of Eishes Ish. Masha Enkein, Kiyosa Rovin, when Rovin came to Bavel, he said it's not Nashga, it's Nashgaz, because Nashga would imply that there is some similarity to Eishes Ish. But there is no similarity to Eishes Ish, says Ruffin, because they don't really have a concept of a kedusha of marriage. They're so promiscuous that it's taken for granted that they're going to be sleeping around. Nobody really expects complete loyalty in those marriages. So you can't call them Eishes Ish at all. So I say it's true that, yes, Nida Shivcha Goya, but the Zion stands for Zona, which Rashi says means legabi a coin. Rashi and Tosfos seem to understand it, that it means, because there's no such Isser as a Zona for a Yisrael. But the Rambam says beferish that they created this concept of a Zona midrabanan for Yisrael. Masha Enkein Rav Dimi, he says that it is Eishes Ish. I mean, why is that if they're so promiscuous? Rav Dimi says Nishayu Vade lo Mifkare. Look, they may be promiscuous, but they certainly are not consciously that the husband goes and marries a woman expecting her to be promiscuous. They're not mafkir their wives. So since they're not mafkir their wives, they have between themselves a concept of ishas, and therefore it is looked at as eishes ish. Because of that, they were gozer on it that men should be, Jewish men should be looking at it as adultery. Okay, so all of this was now an interlude. What is the din of the Baal HaKutit? But getting back to the actual Mishnah, when we're talking about Kanoyim Pogim Bo. So what exactly defines Kanoyim Pogim Bo? Omer of Chista, if somebody comes into Beis Din and says, look, so-and-so is having sex with this woman and I want to kill him. Can I kill him? Absolutely not. Ein Morin Lo. Beis Din will not allow this guy to go kill someone because the entire issue is fundamentally extrajudicial. The moment that the person has to ask, he's not considered to be a kanoi. And therefore, that's not included in that halacha. Itmanani, Omer Rabba Bar Barchon, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, somebody who comes to the Beis Din to ask, or he asks a gadol, what should I do, will never tell him to do something like that. Ein morim lo. Not only that, but you should realize that in Peirash Zimri, Varago Pinchas, remember that our, of course, source in the Torah for this relationship was that when Zimri went ahead and took Cosby Batsur, Pinchas basically shot him extrajudicially, speared him, as we'll see. And the truth is that if Zimri had simply detached himself from Cosby at that moment, and Pinchas would have gone ahead and killed him as revenge, then Pinchas would have been killed in Beis Din for doing that. This is not a din of nekama. This is a din of responsiveness at the moment. Furthermore, even if Zimri would have turned around while he was still actually having sex with Cosby, and he would have shot Pinchas, he would have been putter. Because Pinchas is technically a rodef. And therefore, if somebody's chasing you, you're supposed to kill him first. Obviously, he wouldn't be called a rodef for someone else to go kill. But for the person who's being chased, this is how the Poskim Paskim, actually, even Rav Moshe had a tshuva on that. So the person himself is allowed to respond by killing Pinchas. That would mean that Zimri could have killed Pinchas. Vayomer Moshe Shoftei Yisrael. So what does it say afterwards? That Moshe Rabbeinu tells all the Shoftei Yisrael, Hirgu Ish Anashav Hanitzmadim Leva'al Por. So since this is the Shoftim, what he was saying is, get Batei Dinim, and let's have fast action on these people who are worshiping Baal Peor. So anyway, meanwhile, Shiftor Shel Shimon, so people from the Shevet of Shimon saw that people were being killed in court, and they were outraged. Holach Shiftor Shel Shimon Etzel Zimri Ben Salu. So they went to Zimri, who was actually the Nasi of the Shevet, as we'll see later on, and they're saying to him, look, these guys are nuts. They're absolutely frummed out of their minds. They're going around killing people. Hein danim dine nefashot, and you're sitting here, and you're not protesting, and you're allowing these Trumpists to get away with whatever they want? This is outrageous. Do something fast. What does he do? Ma'asa. Amad v'kibetz 24,000 mi'Yisrael. He gets 24,000 people together. It says afterwards that that's who was affected by the plague was 24,000 people. So apparently created this mob that was going to go and mob out Moshe. So he goes into this Cosby. Now Cosby was the most choshev of the Nishay Midian, and she was a Bat Melech, and she was Bat Sur. So he says to her, listen, I want you to have sex with me. And I want to prove with that that we can mix with you and that we can assume your identities and so on. So she said, I'm sorry, but I am the daughter of the king. And my father said to me specifically, Loti Shami ala legadol shebehem. You can only have sex with their leader, this Moses character. That's the one that we've got to get. Nobody else is important. So I can't do that. So he said to her, don't be silly. I'm the same as a king because I'm a Nasi Shevet. So Nasi Shevet is the same thing as your father, Sur is one of the Mishpachas of Midian. I'm the same level, and I happen to be greater than that Moses character that your father seems to be focused on unreasonably, because after all, that guy is just the third born of his mother, and I am the second. Shimon is a son that was born before Levi. Why would you want to go to a descendant of Levi? Go to the top. Come on to Shimon. Anyway, so he grabs her by her beautiful hair, and he drags her to Sabebluriata. There the Moshe. He comes running over to Moshe with all these 24,000 people standing around, and he says to him, listen here, Ben Amram. I want to know, is this woman okay for me to sleep with or not? And if you try to tell me she's not, who allowed you to marry the daughter of Yisro, who was a leader in Midian, Kohen Midian, and you went and married a Midianite, and now you're going around killing people for marrying Midianite, a fair piece of liberal type of hypocrisy. What's going on around here? Now, obviously, when Moshe Rabbeinu had married the Bat Yitro, there was no Isser because it was before Kabbalah Satera, and then when they were Makabal the Torah, everybody was Makabal Keres at the same time. So Bat Yitro became Jewish the same time Moshe Rabbeinu became Jewish, so to speak. And therefore, of course, this whole thing was ridiculous. So anyway, he for some reason at that moment, now you'll notice how this strangely parallels the Gemara prior about Rav when he was asked what happens if Kanoim are not Pogimbo. Moshe forgets the halacha. It wasn't only Rav that forgot the halacha. Okay, so suddenly Moshe is scratching his head. What the heck was I supposed to do when somebody asks about sleeping with this Goya? Anyway, everybody was completely broken. Go, kulam bivchia. Everybody starts crying. Oh, my God, we don't have any leadership. What's happening around here? And Hainu Dichtiv, that's why it says in the Pasuk to be Merabes, Vehimba bochim petacha oha. These people were all crying at the opening to the Ohel Moed, and this must be because he had forgotten the halacha. And at that moment, Vayar Pinchas ben Elazar, what do you mean he saw? What did he see? Amarav, it means that what he saw triggered his response. Ra'a ma'aseh v'nizkar halacha. He saw what was happening, that Zimri was sleeping with Cosby, and he says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I remember My dear great uncle, Ahi Avi Abba, he says to Moshe, the brother of my father's father, because Moshe was the brother of the father of Elazar, of Pinchas, and Elazar, and one step back was Aaron, the brother of Moshe. He was a great uncle. I remember that when you came down from Har Sinai, lo kach libadatani b'ritcha mi Har Sinai, habo elat akutit kanoim pogim bo. Didn't you say that if somebody is a kanoi, he should just kill him? So Moshe said to him, kayana di garta iula evi parvanka. Well, the guy who's carrying the proclamation, he should be the one to carry it out, don't you think? That's what ra'ah means. Shmuel Amar, what he saw was ra'ah, she'en chokhma ve'en tvuna ve'en etzah le'neged Hashem. So what he saw was that Moshe Rabbeinu was paralyzed and that he was not moving. And he saw this as a chilul Hashem, which immediately made him think about what to us is a pasuk now, that Shlomo HaMelech writes in Mishlei, that in a mokum, ko bokum she'esh chilul Hashem, ein chokin kovod l'rab. I can't sit around here and wait for Moshe and say, who am I, little Pinchas, to go and respond when Moshe didn't respond? If it's nogea chilul Hashem, ein chokin kovod l'rab? So he went, it was meira alocha b'fnei rabbi, in a sense, but that's what you have to do in such situations. Rabbi Yitzchak says what it means, ra'ah, was that he was ra'ah sheba malach v'shchit ba'am. He saw that the malach ha'mavetz was here, and that people were dying all over, which was the beginning of the terrible plague that destroyed 24,000 people. So, v'yokom mitoch ha'ida, so he wanted to save Klal Yisrael, v'yokom mitoch ha'ida v'yikach romach b'yado. So he takes the spear in his hand. Now the question is, why wasn't he carrying his machine gun all the time? I mean, shouldn't you also be wearing your weapons? Do you ever see Alon without a weapon? Do you ever see Richie without a weapon? I mean, when somebody is a warrior, they're wearing their weapons. So how come Pinchas wasn't wearing his weapon? Mikan, will you see from here that you do not bring your machine gun into the Beis HaMedrash with you? Mikan, she'en nichrasim b'chlei zayin le'Beit HaMidrash. Beit HaMidrash is a place which is kept for holy things only. Of course, this doesn't apply today. We have to protect the Beit HaMidrash itself. Anyway, so what did he do? He takes off the spearhead and hides it inside of his pocket of his robe. Sholaf shenana, v'hinicha bunkalo. And then he took the spear, the actual stick of the spear, and he pretended that this was his staff. So he's walking along on the wood of his spear. V'kibon shehigia etzel shivto shel Shimon. He comes now to Shimon, the area where Shevet Shimon was. Remember, each of the Shvatim had their own special place. And he says, Heichan matzinu, sheshivto shel Levi, gadol mishel Shimon. Where do we ever find that the Shevet of Levi is more frum than the Shevet of Shimon? I mean, listen, if it's good enough for you to be sleeping with this girl, how come I don't get a chance? After all, I also would like to be sleeping with her. So they said, ah, now this is good. Hinichulo, let him in, let him in. Hafu la'atzot tzrachav nichnas. He wants to have some fun. That's a good sign, because it means if we get Pinchas to allow this type of things, he tiru prushim et adavar. Even the G'dele Hador, they all said it's fine to do this. So that would be wonderful. This is, of course, the moment of, why does he say it in this way? Because remember that Shimon and Levi were the two kanoim, remember, by Shechem. So they had gone in together. Now here, this question is coming to further clarify what the real nature of kanaut is. And remember that both in English and in Lashon HaKodesh, there's a very profound similarity between zealousy and jealousy. In Hebrew, it's the exact same word. because most people are running around screaming at others or doing things is because they want to do those things and they can't allow themselves to do those things. So they're so jealous that they let it out as if we are so angry at you for this terrible behavior. But that's because you want to do the same thing. So the question, of course, in English, it's the same thing, zealous, jealous. So how do we define the difference between religious zeal and actual personal jealousy? So this was a moment of that kind of Spitz definition in which what it was that Pinchas was saying is, listen, it was never about Frumkeit, was it? So where do we see that Levi is more Frum than Shimon? If this is Mutter, so it's Mutter for Levi also. So that's why it was very important to put it that way, because this was an old relationship from the time of Yaakov Avinu between Shimon v'Levi Achim. This is not a small issue and becomes a definition of Shimon v'Levi throughout the generations as being the Malam de Tinokos and so on, right? Anyway, so Omer Rabbi Yochanan, at that point, there were six different miracles that were given to Pinchas. One of them was that Zimri should have, and Zimri was a very smart man. When Zimri sees Pinchas coming in, he should have been very suspicious and should have detached himself from Cosby. And at that moment, Pinchas wouldn't have been allowed to do anything to him, because we said before, if Zimri had actually been Purish at that moment, then it would have been Usher. Sorry. It would have been Usher for him to kill him. The other thing is that he should have cried for help. He should have, Ayalala Daber, he should have said, this guy's going to come to kill me. But he didn't say anything. The another thing was, that was beautiful, is that Pinchas actually speared these people. He went straight through Zimri's the penis, and he went through Cosby's genitals, and he kept them on that spear to be able to show everybody what he just managed to spear. Look what the cat dragged in. And he goes out holding them up on his spear, which is a miracle because they should have lo nishmatu min aromach. I mean, they should have slipped off that spear, but they didn't. And it was very important for him to actually show people what it was that he had done. And I think that Ori is a little bit shocked by all of this story over here, Gavi. Maybe it's time to protect her from some Gemaras, you know. And the other miracle was that b'malach v'higbia et hamashkof, how was he going to get them out of the tent? If he's holding them up on this spear, then he's going to bump into the door. There's no way he can get them out. A malach came, lifted up the door of the tent so that he could get out on the spear. And also, if he would have walked out like that, they would have murdered Pinchas. So it was at that moment that a special tumult came out because the Malach started giving people heart attacks all over the place. They were all dying from the 24,000 that were killed there in the Magifah. That was very powerful at that moment that he walked out. And then Pinchas comes and he throws down their bodies in front of that Bezdin, in front of the Olmo, he throws it down in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, Ribono Shel Olam, because of these pieces of dirt, 24,000 people are dying. Al Elo Yiplu Esrim V'Arba'i Elef Mi Yisrael, is it really worth it? Shenemra V'Yu Amitim B'Makifa Arba'a V'Esrim Elef, that these were 24,000 people that had died? V'Hayna Dichtiv V'Ya'amod Pinchas V'Yipalel. Note, it doesn't say Vayit Palel, says Rabbi Elazar. Amar Rabbi Elazar doesn't say Vayit Palel. Vayit Palel is that what it is that you're saying is reflexive, and it impacts you, which is the Derech of Tefillah, that ultimately, in what it is that you're saying, you are expressing those things that are most important to you vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the focus is a reflexive focus. But over here, when it says Vayipalel, it basically means he took God to court. That's the Biplilim, right? Vayipalel malami kevayachol she'asa pelilutim kono. He created a suit, a legal suit against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How could you treat Klal Yisrael this way? 24,000 people should be killed for this nonsense. Bikshu malachei ha'shor zedochafo. So, I mean, this is sort of chutzpah to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this fashion. The whole thing is like, what a show. What an incredible show. And they thought this is outrageous. So Omar Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, this guy is for real. Hanichula, let him alone. Kanoi ben Kanoyu. This is a person who comes from Levi, and Levi was back at the time of Shechem. He was the original Kanoi, and he was an honest Kanoi. And he's a Meshiv Chema, ben Meshiv Chemahu. Not only that, but he comes from Aaron, and Aaron was a person who was able to turn away the same. Sab Rashi understands it. It's not a reference back to the Maisa Egel where Levi went around being Meshiv Chema, but that it's a reference to Aaron who was able to use the Ketores and Vayachaper Alaam at the time of the Negev when it was Yotze HaKotzef. So it was specifically Ketzef Chema that Aaron used the Ketores to be able to be Mechaper on the Am with the Ketores. I see Gavi, you're leading the way for the young members over here. I see that Tsuri is also supposed to be shocked by this. He doesn't seem shocked in the least. I mean, at least Ori seemed a little bit shocked. That's what happens when you start them too young. You get them married off at the late age of 12, and you end up with these tsarists. Itchilu shvatim evazim oto. So then, the Shvatim, who didn't know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had said, leave him alone, and so on, they all start off and they start, look at this idiot, Re'item ben Putizeh, exactly the wrong man at the wrong time. Who the heck does he think he is? This is a guy who was Pitem Avi Imo Agalim La'avodas Kechavim. This is the person who comes from whom? From Yisro. Who was Yisro? Remember that Elazar, it says Beferish, that he took me benot putiel lo leisha. That means that his mother came apparently from benot putiel, and it says in the Medrash that putiel is Yisro because he was mifatem. He was the Kohen Midian. He used to fatten up these agalim to bring to Avodah Zarah. This is the guy that should come and should make himself holier than thou, and he's going to come and be Horag Nasi Shevet Miyisrael. It's outrageous. It's always these newcomers who think that they know more than everybody. Therefore comes along the Pasuk and says, this guy is Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, and that's the way to be mityaches to him. That's why we use the word mityaches, you see? How do you relate to his yichus? Comes back to this. So, Ba'a Kasuv, and Yichaso, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, give this guy my best regards. Akdim lo shalom, shenama lachein amor, inani noten lo et briti shalom. I'm making with him a bris of peace. And as the Zohar says, what this shows is that true kana'ut is predicated on the search for peace, which is the exact opposite of the way people look at religious. Zealous is dafka, jealous, and they are people that make war, not peace. So it's all about jihad. V'ru'uya kapara zo, shetei mechaperet v'holechet la'olam. It says, brit kunat olam. And it says at the end, Tachas Asher Kinei Le'Elohav Vaychaper Al Bnei Yisrael, that this is the Olam, is a reference to the Kapora, that in what he did is a Kapora that has an impact for all generations, along with the new Kahuna that was never before, that never belonged to Pinchas, even though he was a child of Elazar, but only those who were the children at the time that Aaron and his children were selected. Those were the ones who were the Kohanim. After that, none of the others were Kohanim, but the ones that are born to those original Kohanim, they were the Kohanim. Here, a new Kohen was made, which was Pinchas. Rav Nachman, Omar Rav, there's this weird pasuk. It says, and nobody, it's a very interesting, nobody knows what the pasuk means. Take a look at the Mefarshim. Everybody has a different guess as to what the pasuk is. So we don't know exactly what a zarzir motnaim is. So zarzir motnaim, okay, so lemaisa, the point of it is, and I think it's Rav Sadia Gaon that the Eben Ezra brings, learns that what it means is a non-castrated billy goat. So these are like very horny animals. We'll see why we're using this particular mushroom. So can you imagine? You've got this zarzir motnaim. Motnaim means there's a focus on his loins, which is essentially his sexual abilities. Otayish, or he's a goat, umelech al kumimo, and there is the king that you cannot fight. I don't know what it means. Al kum, you can't take up stand against him. It doesn't make much sense. And nobody really knows what the pasuk means. And actually, it's supposed to be remozim. There's a whole list of psukim in Mishle that are remozim, according to the Mefarshim, to the various malchios, and it characterizes them by their general cultural behavior. Okay, but here the Gemara is darshaning this as this moment. So a zarzir motnaim is an animal who's got endless kind of sexual energy. So they understand this to be a reference specifically to this story of the Maisa of Zimri. So we darshan zarzir to be a gematria, and it adds up to arba me'ot esrim v'arba. So it's 424. So what would that mean? It meant that Zimri actually climaxed 424 times with this woman. Arba me'ot esrim v'arba bi'ilot ba'alo Torah shah oto hayom. And Pinchas was waiting, because Pinchas didn't think that he could possibly attack Zimri, who was immensely powerful. So Pinchas waited for him until he would get a little bit worn out, you'd think, right? So he waited for him, Acha Tashash Kocho. So we're darshaning Tayish, O Tayish, especially if Zarzir Motnaim is a billy goat that hasn't been castrated. So then why are you mentioning Tayish again? So we're darshaning Tayish from a lashon of Tishishut. Wear him out. So turn this super duper billy goat just to an old fashioned goat, right? So now he becomes an old goat, we call him. Okay. So that would be the reference in the pasuk. And Pinchas was waiting for him to be a Tayish. But Pinchas should have known that Melech al Kumimo, the king El Kum, the king, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the real God, who was the Melech, he was on his side. And Pinchas could have just gone and attacked him, just like in the end, there were the six Nisim that were done. He didn't have to wait till he turned into just an old goat. He could have attacked him while he was at the height of his powers. Bimasni Satana. In the Brisa, it says that it wasn't the 400 times and so on. There was only 60 times, right? Exactly where we get them. 60, it may be just because in general, a 60 is called a... But anyway, so he was 60 times he climaxed. Achenazak beitza amuzeret, so his own beitzim, his own testicles, became like beitzim, which are eggs that are muzarot. Eggs that are muzarot are eggs that have been lying around and are not really fresh eggs anymore. They look very watery. So in what would normally have been his semen, his eggs turned into beitzim muzarot. They were like filled with water instead of with semen. And she became like an aruga malea mayim. This is a little bit gross because we're going to just to put them down and talk about them as if they're like animals. So the Gemara uses very vulgar kind of language over here. So she turned into an aruga, which, you know, where you're like a row of vegetables in a garden that somebody had overfilled with water, and now it's just a bunch of mud. So she basically turned into, she was so filled with semen that she turned into a bunch of mud. Omer of Kahana, let me tell you something. Her ass was the size of a Beit Sa'ah at that point. This is, again, a little bit gross. Okay, so a Beit Sa'ah, of course, is a pretty large-sized kind of garden. And Tani Rav Yosef, let me not even talk about her vagina. I mean, she was Kevishel, I was an Amma. So these people basically turned into real slobs. Amrav Sheshes lo kaz bishma, ela Shvilnai shma. She was Shvilnai Batsur. So her real name was Shvilnai. So why did we call her Cosby Batsur? Because she actually she disappointed her dad. Her dad told her, only sleep with the leader. So she accepts the argument of the Zimri guy, because basically she was turned on by Zimri. And by doing that, she was mechazev in her father. So she actually really rebelled against it. Dover Acher, Cosby, she was called Cosby because she had gone to her father and she said to him, Cosby am ze, screw these people through me. This became a fascinating popular saying that nobody knows where it came from. But we're going to tell you where it came from. So you know that old Mrs. Robinson song, everybody knows what she's stepping going down there for? So that became a popular saying about Shvilnai. Now, nobody knew Shvilnai, so Shvilnai was looked at as a word for the big prostitute around town. So what they used to say is, Bain Kani Lurbani, Shvilnai my bai. What do you think Shvilnai is doing between all of the reeds and the rushes that grow around the pond? What do you think she's doing there, huh? Bahade Kalpe de Kani Shvilnai my boy. Why is Shvilnai always looking around these spots where they've got a lot of reeds lying on the ground? I'll tell you what she's doing there. Jafta Layima. She took her mother and turned her mother into a prostitute there, meaning that everybody calls a woman like that a zona bat zona. So this is the way that people would refer to, but they had no idea what Shvilnai is. We're telling you the original Shvilnai is. That was Cosby Batsur. And that was what the whole thing was based on. What about Zimri? Who is Zimri? And what's his real name? Rabbi Yochanan, the truth is Chamisha Shemot Yeshlo. Zimri has five different names. And first of all, I mean, we know he's Zimri, and he was Zimri ben Salu. But each one of those aspects reflects a different element of his character. So he's called Zimri ben Salu, and he's Shaul ben Haknanid. Each one of these is understood as a separate name, not a real name of a father, so or of a mother. So he's Shaul, he's the ben Haknanid, and his name was Shlumiel ben Tzuri Shaddai, is the name that he's given as the Nasi Livnei Shimon. So why was he called Zimri? He's called Zimri al Shenaasa Kemetz Beitza Muzeret. Zimri is the same word as the Muzeret. So he turned into this, as we said, his testicles were like filled with water. Ben Salu, he's called al Shisli Avonot Shel Mishpachto. He brought out everybody's comments about the family that he came from by talking about him. And that's called always Salu, is a way in which we see, as Rashi points out from Eicha, that there's a reference to Mesulaim Bapaz, that the Mesulaim is something that you compare to another thing. So when it's Salu, it means they started saying, look at this guy and how does his maisim compare to what kind of people? Why was he called Shaul? He's called Shaul because he was Hish'il Atzmo Midvar Avera. He was a person that shouldn't have been involved in something of this low class. But it's as if he lent himself to something that was not him. So Hish'il Atzmo Midvar Avera. And why is he called Shaul ben Haknanit? Al Sha'asa Ma'aseh China'an. And that's why he shows up at the Bnei Shimon. Shaul ben Haknanit. So he did things as if he was a goy. And this is what Knan would do, Znus. But what was his real name? Ma'ashemo Shlumiel ben Tzuri Shaddai Shimon. Now this gives rise to a lot of approaches among the Balei Kabbalah that the truth is that Shlumiel ben Tzuri Shaddai, in this action, was attempting to duplicate Shimon in Shechem. He was not. Here the Gemara presents him as a total Rasha But in reality, there's all types of Ramosim in his name, Shlumiel ben Tzuri Shaddai, that he was coming actually to incorporate Midian with the din of Yefas Tear, the same way that had taken place in Shechem, where Dina, that he became in the end the one that rescued Dina and that he married Dina, that she had taken out the neshama of Rabbi Hananya ben Tradian, which was rumored, but remember we've spoken about this in the Chumash, and the word Va'aretz Rechavat Yadayim, Rechavat stands for Rabbi Hananya ben Tradian, is the osias of Rabbi Hananya ben Tradian. And there's tremendous kinds of discussions about what the ultimate fate of Shlumiel ben Tzuri Shaddai and his position in terms of Olam Haba and so on. It's not as pushed as it looks, even though on the one hand, we're turning him into a total slob. On the other, his real name was Shlumiel ben Tzuri Shaddai. Okay, moving on to the Mishnah. So we're talking about a list of things in which people can act extrajudiciously. The next case was, if a Kohen is found to be in the Beis HaMikdash doing the Aveda, and he does the Aveda Bituma, we don't take him to Beis Din, we just take him out to the backyard lot, you know, and there we smash his skull. So, Kohen Shishimesh Bituma, Bo Aminei Rav Acha Bruna Min Rav Sheshet. A Kohen Shishimesh Bituma, it never says whether there's a Chiyav of Misa Bidei Shamayim for such a Kohen. Forget about the question of what Echav HaKohanim do. Is he Chayev in Misa B'dei Shamayim or not? Said Reb Sheshes, well, I mean, isn't it obvious from the Mishnah? If the Mishnah says that a Kohen Sheshimesh B'tumah, Ein Echav HaKohanim Mevino To Lebeit Din, Ela Pirchei Kuna Motzino To Chutz La'Zara U'Potzin Et Mocho B'Gizrin, I mean, if you're going to tell me that a Kohen is Chayev B'dei Shamayim, so then that means that it's none of your damn business. Now, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, this person will be taken care of by me. So why are you going and busting his head open? If it's a specific din in the Kanoim, it must be that there is no Chayev of Misa B'dei Shamayim, because otherwise, Lishbeke Delikto B'dei Shamayim, leave him for God to take care of. Why do you have to respond? Says Rav Acha, or just the opposite. Elamai, what are you going to say? That he's not Chayev? So how is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't believe that this person is worthy of death, but his Echav HaKohanim, they decide that he's worthy of death? I mean, you know, it's all very nice. As Gandalf says to Sam, maybe he is right to die Gollum, you know, but are you the one that's giving him life? And you can therefore decide that he's going to die. It's outrageous. So it must be Adarabba, that he's chayev b'isa b'dei shamayim, right? So we're going to get up and make the decisions when God hasn't said that he should die. Wait a minute. That's not true. Hello? Vatnan, we said, somebody was loka v'shana. We had the choki. We put the guy in the choki and we let him die. And God didn't say he should die. Only chayev and the Torah was from Malchus. What right do you have to go kill the guy and start getting all upset because of recidivist? Hey, you forgot. So there it says, same thing. Let's first see the question. Mishalaka v'shana, beit din machlisino to l'kipa. I don't understand. I have the same question for you. The Torah says, it's not the Torah, it's our lover, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Love, you know, it's the Ashkenazim who refused to accept that God actually would love anybody. So the Rachmana Amar, so our lover says he should not be killed, and you go ahead and you do kill him. How do you explain that? So obviously that's not an argument. You forgot. Remember what Rabbi Yirmiyah quoted Reish Lakish as saying, that this din is only true where the guy had been over on a Chiyav Malchus that was a Chiyav Kares. The Chiyav Kares is essentially cutting this guy off, which means that he's definitely Chayav B'dei Shamayim. In that case, the Gavra is a Bar Ketala. So it's still fair to say that we would never have any of these extrajudicial procedures on a person who wasn't ultimately Chayav Misa. You know, well, wait a second. And what about the case that we had of the Goneva Kasuva? How about there? Certainly you're not Chayav Misa for stealing, are you? Well, did you forget? Rav Yehuda said that's talking about a klishores. And there's a remez you are not even allowed to see. Ovir kivala. He said, that's the point. Lo yavol lirot kivala et hakodesh v'beiso. So the Bnei Kahat, remember, Aaron ubanav would come in first, cover over the kelim, and that way they wouldn't see and die while these kli kodesh were being covered. Well, kivala has a double meaning, we said. And that valas HaKadosh means that you stuck it into your inside pocket and walked out with it. So it does say over there, V'lo yamutu, v'beitu, it says at the end. So that would mean that there is, ultimately, echi of misa, onegone v'takasua. What about the thing about being mevorech as Hashem, mekalel, utilizing the force, we said, the kosein? That's not really chayev. And yet we said over there, we go ahead and we still kill the guy. Well, that's also a special case. Because remember what it means, Mekalel et HaKosein. Rabbi Yosef explained it as meaning, Tani Rabbi Yosef, Yake Kosein et Kosmo. So that the force should destroy the source of the force. So that's very similar to Mevorech es Hashem. And a Mevorech es Hashem is ultimately Echiev of Misa. And so because of that, since this is essentially what he's doing, we treat him as if he's a true Mevorech es Hashem. Okay, well, what about the guy who was sleeping with this Akutit? What's the Isser of Chiev Misa over there? Well, remember what Rav Kahana had a dream about. It said, Beferish, that V'nichrasa at the end, and Atkere Rav L'gemore, and obviously that was real. It wasn't just a dream, because then Rav, when Rav Kahana said it over to him, it catalyzed Rav's memory, and it said over there, Yachre Tashem. So there's a getter, of course, over there as well. Now, so that means that Rav Sheshes, he tainted that a Koyinu's Ove Betuma is not Chayev Misa. That's what he said to Rav Acha Bar Huna. We've been trying to support that possibility, that even though he's not Chayev Misa, we would still go and kill him. But the truth is that it seems that he's wrong. What he said is wrong. Because we have a raya that a Kohen who is Oved Betuma is Chayev Misa. Esvet. Here we have, in the Mishnah in Zvachim, all of the various Chiyuvim and different avodas that are done be'isser. Okay, so it says over there in the Mishnah that even though we have some things that are done outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and you would be chayiv kares for them, those are only avodas that are at the end of a series of avodas. They're only the gemar on that avoda. But somebody who does an avoda that is part of the process of completing an avoda is not going to be chayev misa. So, in a case where someone is yotzek, he pours out the oil on a mincha, or he is bolel, he mixes it, or he's potet, he breaks the mincha into small pieces if it was a baked mincha, and therefore he makes it possible to do the kmitza on it. Or he does the malicha and he salts it, or he does the tnufa, waving it, or he's magish it to the mizbeach, which is part of the aveda, you just bring it to the corner of the mizbeach. Or he takes another mincha, a special mincha, which is the shulchan, it's put on the shulchan, and that, of course, is the lechem aponim, where there, too, it's a mincha, and the kmitza of that mincha is the levona that is on the shulchan. Or hameti v'taneirot, he gets the neiros of the menorah ready for lighting, or he's komets, he does the actual kmitza of the mincha, or he does the kabbalah of the dam of an animal, he does any of these things b'chutz. None of these things are mechayev yukares, because only the shchita and the zrika and the haktora is chayev kares, as we saw before. But these, you're not chayev, and you're only chayev in chayevim alehem lo mishum zarut, if you did any of these things, either as a non-kohen, or as a kohen who's tamei, b'lo mishum tuma, or as a kohen who's not wearing his begadim, b'lo mishum mechusar begadim, or as a kohen who did not wash his yadayim v'raglayim from the kiyar, so that even though it says on those things v'lo yamutu, these avodas are not part of the avodas that are mechayev you misa. But The mashma'ut is that on these lists of the, that we said, all of these things that are not the Gemara Aveda, you're not chayav. But if you would have actually done the finishing Aveda, something which is a Gemara Aveda, so let's say you would have put it and put it on the Mizbeach, so then if you're Tameh, you would be chayav. Hamikater, you would be chayav. Now, that can't mean that you're chayav only a lav. It must mean that you're chayav misa. No, it means you're chayav a lav. No, it can't mean you're chayav a lav, because then you would be saying that if that's the case, that when we said the zar, if you did haktora as a zar, or you said zar, tameh, mechusar begadim, lo rochutz yadayim raglayim, now you're telling me, no, that it doesn't mean misa. It means ba'azara. I got news for you. It's a beferish pasuk. Hazar hakarev yumatz. Don't tell me that it's not misa b'dei shamayim. So then that means that any of those things, the tameh and the zar and the mechusar begadim, etc., they're all basically v'lo yamutu. Hazar hakarev yumat. So what are you telling me that there's no chiyuv of misa? So obviously that shows that Reb Sheshes' actual opinion is wrong. Forget about how it is that he was trying to explain the Mishnah. No, I don't know. Not necessarily. It could very well be that each one of these things is a separate thing. Ha-kidi-ita, va-ha-kidi-ita. Some of these things, such as Zarus, where it says beferish, is actually mate. That the Zarakarev yumat. Other of these things could be that it's only an azara, but you cannot actually bring a raya that all of the cases are considered to be misa.